Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Midnight Audio Theater, the weekly show where we feature new and original audio dramas, be they adventure, mystery, sci-fi, or comedy. I'm your host, Kathy Ranella. And welcome back, folks. Tonight we have a special treat. We listen to the first two episodes of a fantastic new series called Ars Paradoxica, created by Daniel Manning and Misha Stanton. It's a historical sci-fi story with an immersive storytelling setup, something akin to I Love Bees, if you've ever heard of it. The podcast released its first episode in June of 2015, and already it's ventured into a second season with patron support to develop small side stories, or minisodes, to the main plot as well. The series first developed when Daniel and Misha both attended Emerson College in Boston. Both were into stories with secret codes, hidden messages, and the like, and together they developed a story about a change made in American history with codes and reports transmitted through radio. It started as a set of short, 5-minute segments in the style of the Cold War-era number station and snuck onto the college radio broadcasts late at night. Over the next 5 years, the two continued to develop the idea into a rich and intricate story that became Ars Paradoxica, where a scientist of the 21st century discovers time travel just before being transported back to the 1940s, into the hands of the U.S. government at the height of World War II. It's presented as a monthly podcast, with episodes playing out as research notes, diary reports, and eyewitness accounts, distorted by both the passage of time and some unknown force. If you couldn't tell already, we really like this show a lot. The time-traveling writing is well-written and presents an intriguing storyline that hooks you from the start, with believable characters and reactions, and incorporating intriguing parts of U.S. history. We hope you enjoy Ars Paradoxica as much as we have. Tonight, we have the first two episodes of this series, back-to-back, presented as one listening event, Hypothesis and Blackout. Enjoy!
Hello? Testing 1, 2. Okay. This is the audio diary of Sally Grissom. The date today is... Hell, does it even matter? It's October 29th. 1943, I guess. For me, that's the day after August 14th, 2015. So, whatever that means. This recorder is enormous. When they were getting my room here set up for me, they asked if I wanted a journal for my thoughts. I don't much like written journals, so I told them I wanted to record my voice instead. I much prefer hearing my thoughts out loud. I guess I was imagining some kind of handheld deal, not like this monstrosity on my desk, but I'm glad they brought it. I need to keep a record of my thoughts here. They're more jumbled than they've ever been. Let me start from the beginning. I was in my lab at the SSC. I'm a resident physicist there, the face in front of a small team of other researchers working to build an array of these generators that canceled out the Higgs mechanism. This thing was our baby. We had poured countless hours, sleepless nights, and about 9 figures into this thing. After a solid year of work, we were finally ready to test it. So there I am on the day of the test, and my hands are shaking with anticipation as I placed the test mass, 1 kilogram of platinum, on a pedestal in the center of the array. As the array began to spool up, vibration knocked the cylinder onto the floor. I left the observation room to go put it back on its pedestal. I remember one of my assistants asking if I wanted them to stop the test. I told them not to waste time letting the generator spin down and then back up. I actually said that it won't do any harm. Yeah, Sure. Won't do any harm. The generators hit critical energy faster than they should have. Just as I placed the test mass inside the array, I heard this loud hum and a crackle of electricity. I remember this smell, like ozone, and the taste of iron in the back of my throat. I tried to look out to my assistants, but their outlines had gone blurry. A bright light crashed across the whole room. For just a second, the world went black and white and red. Then the light got brighter, hotter, whiter, and whiter. It filled my whole vision. The next thing I knew, I was lying on the deck of a huge boat. My head was full of white noise. I was dizzy and shivering cold. The contents of my breakfast were spread out in front of me. It wasn't my best moment. I must have stayed a good 5-6 minutes, half conscious, on the cold metal floor before anyone found me. I remember a pair of hands checking my pulse, making sure I was breathing. That first pair of hands called for a second, and before long, I had a whole... what do you call a bunch of Navy guys? A crew? A squad? A sloop? A swearing? Yeah, that's it. A swearing of sailors surrounded me. Most of them spoke in hushed tones to each other. One of them, with authority ringing in his voice, came and ordered the rest to take me to the brig. At least I think that's what he said. Something like that. I don't remember the exact words. I was pretty out of it. But that was definitely his tone. The first sailor, the one who checked to see if I was alive, he refused. Said I should be taken to the sick bay. One of them asked if I could walk. Walk? I meant to say. I can barely stand. Who are you people, anyway? I demand to talk to someone in charge. Well, I meant to say all that. As I was, I just sort of wobbled on my feet, mumbled a bit, and puked all over the nearest sailor. A few of them scooped me up and carried me down to the lower depths of the ship. So, sidetrack. When I was young, my parents took me to see the USS Intrepid in New York City. It's a docked aircraft carrier from World War II that had been retired and then renovated into a sea, air, and space museum. The lunar lander was there, and my parents had wanted me to see the capsule my grandfather had landed on the moon in. But back to the ship. Once my vision cleared a bit, and I could finally see where I was, I remembered thinking that this ship looked almost exactly like what I remembered. Except that here, the controls weren't sealed behind plexiglass. The one thing I couldn't recall was the holding cell. It was just a cage. A closet with bars, stuffed in the corner of one room, no more than 5 feet across. The sailors put me down as gently as they could, locked the door shut, and left. I lay there for a while, moving as little as possible, holding my throbbing head, trying to stop the room from spinning, maybe even trying to wake myself up from this terrible dream. Finally, after what seemed like an hour, but was probably more like 10 minutes, I heard a voice from inside the room. Evidently, one of the sailors had stayed behind. That first one. The one that cared whether or not I was still alive. He was quiet and calm, like the sea after a storm. He said to me,
"At the tone, the time will be 12:45.
Ma'am? Excuse me, ma'am, can you hear me? Take it easy. Just take it easy. Don't worry, ma'am. You'll be all right. The director's on his way out here now, and he's gonna want to talk to you. Rest up. Save your strength.
Where am I?
You're in Philadelphia, ma'am. Or, I suppose, just off the coast of Philadelphia.
On a ship?
Yes, ma'am. You're aboard a Cannon-class destroyer escort. Most days we're running men and materials to the Allied fronts. Today we're... well, we're doing something different.
Different?
Well, ma'am, I can't tell you much. It's all classified, way above my pay grade, but I guess you must know. Some Army scientists have taken over operations this week, run over the ship like ants on a picnic.
Must know?
Well, sure. Isn't that what you're doing here?
Not, I'm not sure what I'm doing here.
Well, you went through an awful lot of trouble getting past our security. How'd you manage that, by the way?
No, I was in my lab. My machine. There was a bright light, and I...
You should save your story for when the director gets here.
It's not a story. It's true. I'm a scientist, a physicist. I was working in my lab, and this generator, it must have...
Calm down, please. Save your strength. Here, drink some water.
Thank you.
What's your name?
Sally.
Petty Officer Chet Wickman. Nice to meet you. Now listen, ma'am.
Doctor.
Sure. Okay, Doc. Listen. Whatever your story is, I believe you. I saw what happened. I was there on the deck when we turned our machine on. There was a big flash of white. Our thing did its thing, and then the light faded, and you were lying on the deck. I saw you appear out of nowhere. I don't know enough about it to know what they were doing. I just sailed the ship, but I know it's something weird. For all I know, you're some ordinary lady minding your own. Hell, maybe you're working with us on some other government science project.
I'm not with the Army. I told you.
But it doesn't matter. Because the director, he's got to act as if you're a spy that snuck on board to steal his project. You dropped yourself into a whole mess of top secret, ma'am, and you're not leaving the Eldridge until he talks to you and finds out everything you know. So take it easy. I'm real sorry, but I've got a feeling you're in for a long day.
They kept me in that cell for 5 hours. I couldn't stretch my arms, and my head was still spinning and pounding from the inbound trip. I asked for a Dramamine, and all I got was a confused look from Wickman. Apparently, they don't have that here. They carried me up to the interrogation room, and just about the time that my head stopped spinning, in walked the director. He was the utter image of a G-man. Large build, a square jaw, hair slicked down to within an inch of its life, well-worn black suit, white shirt, black tie, like someone out of a movie. His smile never wavered. And the lines on his face told me he'd practiced that smile a million times before.
What's your name, little girl?
Fuck you. That's my name.
See, and here I was, perfectly ready to assume your cooperation. I was gonna sit here, smile politely, ask a few questions, and we'd be done. You'd be off on your merry way. But you've decided to be hostile. So now I have to treat you like a hostile captive. And hostile captives don't get treated well on my ship. They get strung up like a carcass in a butcher shop. They get questioned at the end of a hot poker, and they leave screaming in agony, or quietly sobbing, broken and torn. Now, does that sound like very much fun to you? No, me neither. So, should we try again? What's your name?
Sally.
Nice to meet you, Sally. My name's William Donovan. Friends call me Bill.
Nice ship you got here, Bill.
See? Friends already. Thank you. It's a modest little escort, but it was on hand to do the work we needed. Where are you from, Sally?
The U.S.
Can you be a little more specific, honey?
No.
Now, I've told you what happens if you don't cooperate.
Not if you're going to keep calling me honey and little girl. It's Dr. Grissom, and I'm not just going to sit here and be talked down to just because I'm a woman and you've got me locked up.
I'm sorry, Doctor. You're absolutely right. Now, please, can you tell me where you're from?
I'm from all over the country. Grew up on a farm in Iowa, went to school in the Northeast. I've been working in Texas for the past few years.
Where in Texas?
Waxahachie.
Waka what?
Waxahachie, near Dallas.
And what do you do out there in Waxahachie, Texas?
I'm a physicist. I'm working on the SSC.
What's that?
The superconducting super collider? The big particle accelerator? Biggest in the world, right near Dallas? Isn't this a military science division?
Who told you that?
That sailor. The one that brought me up here. Wickman.
Good kid. Smart. Sure does talk a lot, though. Where'd you go to school, Dr. Grissom?
MIT.
MIT, as in the Massachusetts Institute of Technology?
I'm not sure how many other MITs there are, but yeah, MIT. Why?
I'm just impressed. I've never met a woman with a doctorate from MIT before. Very impressive.
Thank you?
So, Doctor, in your expert opinion, how do you think you ended up on my ship?
I'm not sure. I was working with a machine in my lab. It was supposed to negate the Higgs field, localized to a specific...
In English, please, Doctor. Not all of us have degrees from MIT.
It canceled out one of the fundamental forces of the universe. And I kind of got in the middle of it. So I get why something happened to me, but why I ended up on your ship, I don't know. Can you tell me any more about what you guys are working on here? Maybe something between the two?
Nice try.
Bill, I...
Listen, Dr. Sally Grissom from Iowa, or whoever you are, I'm done playing games here. Who are you working for?
I told you, I work for the SSC.
The SSC? I see. And how much would they have paid you if you had brought our plans back to Germany?
Germany? What are you talking about?
Doctor, I know for a fact that what we're doing here is on the bleeding edge of scientific discovery. The stuff we're doing here, it sounds like something straight out of Astonishing Tales. It's amazing. It's powerful. It's dangerous. And I will see myself burning in hell before I let Adolf and his Kraut goons get his hands on this technology.
Adolf? Kraut? What is this, World War II?
It sure ain't the revolution, sweetheart. And we have come a long way since then. Plenty of new ways to keep someone locked up. To keep them in agony. Until we learn every Nazi secret that you've got in that pretty little head.
What's the date?
What?
The date. The date today. Please, before you lock me up and throw away the key, torture me until I'm a bloody goddamn stump rotting away in the cage for the rest of my days, just tell me, what is today's date?
An odd last request.
Please. Bill. Please.
It's October 28th. 1943.
Oh, no. Its official designation is Project Rainbow. But I've only ever heard it called the Philadelphia Experiment. An urban legend, or so I thought. The story goes that the military was testing some kind of cloaking device to shield ships from enemy radar. It went back to some of Einstein's formulas. But when they turned it on, there was a bright flash of light, and then the ship was gone. Some said it had turned invisible. Some said it had disappeared altogether. In any case, clearly some weird science happening. And so, their weird science plus my weird science equals time travel? I don't know. I'm still working it out. Once I had the director convinced that I wasn't a spy, they took me back to shore and put me on the next flight out west. The plane was so noisy I could barely hear myself think, let alone ask any questions about where we were going. When I stepped off the plane, it was like I was slapped in the face with a wall of hot air. The sun was beating down on us from a cloudless blue sky, and the reflection off the desert nearly blinded me, and I just started baking. I was pushed into a Jeep, and we drove for about another 2 hours, and as much as I would ask, I couldn't get a word out of the director or the driver in that whole time. We just drove in silence for 2 hours. We drove for miles and miles, further into the flat desert, further away from civilization. For maybe the barest second or two, I wondered whether they had decided to drag me out into the middle of nowhere and shoot me after all. Finally, about 10 minutes before we arrived...
Here, oh, read this.
You scared the hell out of me.
Fall asleep?
Yeah.
Not much to the scenery, I know. Flat for miles, makes you sleepy. No shame. Not long now. Here, read this.
What is it?
It's a highly classified military profile on your new home.
My new... What do you mean?
We are rapidly approaching the town of Polvo, New Mexico. Population about 600 square miles. It's not a town you'll find on any map. That's because the U.S. government built it 2 years ago. Now, the purpose of this little town is to provide a think tank for clever scientists, all run by the Office of Developed Anomalous Resources. ODAR. Here, removed from the rest of the American people, they can be free to think up new ideas for the war effort. Ideas like the machine we were testing today.
So you want me to join your scientist think tank?
Well, it's not that simple. You see, this town, the work that's done here, the people that live here, even the babies that are born here, it's all classified on a level so deep, barely a handful of men in the entire country know it even exists.
And that includes me.
Bingo.
So I'm a hostage.
A house to yourself, 3 squares a day, a town full of people just as smart as you are, and all the new gadgets the U.S. Army can buy? If that's a prison, sign me up.
But I can't refuse.
No, you can't.
And how long will I be kept there?
Win the war for us, and then we'll talk.
Fine. And that was it. Now I'm trapped here, caged up like a zoo animal. Or one of those little grinder monkeys you see on the street. Dance, monkey, dance! There's a whole town out here, in the middle of the desert. It seems kind of like what I've read about the Manhattan Project, for other discoveries beyond the bomb. I don't know what everyone else is working on, but Donovan says he's particularly hopeful about my work. Which is great, but super creepy, the way he says it. He says he's going to put me in charge of my own project, even get me some staff when he can pull them away from other projects. And I won't lie, that makes me nervous. I mean, I've read books about going into the past, changing small things. I just don't want to pull anyone away from anything that was going to have an impact on my history.
My name is Aaron, and she talks.
$10 was...
It's good to see you again, Director Donovan. I didn't know you were back in town. How did the rainbow test turn out?
I'm sorry if I'm curt, but I'm a bit busy today.
All right. What can I do for you, sir?
You're doing some really good work here, but...
Thank you. We're getting more precise every day.
And I don't want to get in the way of your progress.
Well, that's why you brought us all in, because we're the best at what we do.
Exactly, but...
And I really appreciate the freedoms you've given us here. I know some things need to stay classified and compartmentalized, but... I appreciate the chance to collaborate with experts in fields I only barely understand. Practically the whole town has a hand in the project.
Anthony, can I finish?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. It's just... I know I'm not going to like what you have to tell me. You wouldn't have brought me in like this if it wasn't bad news.
We're cutting funding to the Predictive Algorithms Project.
By how much?
It's being reclassified as a Tier 3 project.
Tier 3? Director Donovan, sir... I know we're taking a bit longer than our original estimates, but we're a Tier 1 project. Hell, we are THE Tier 1 project! This is the cornerstone of ODAR operations!
I'm sorry. We're handing off the top tier to something new.
Something new? Something new since last week?
I'm afraid so. I'll need a list of non-essential personnel on my desk by Wednesday.
Non-essential? You're not just cutting our funding, you're firing people too.
Actually, you're firing them.
You can't do that. These people signed a contract with the United States government that they'd be employed here until the end of the war. We've been working on this for an entire year!
The terms of the agreement have changed. Contracts can be terminated. Think of it as sending troops home early.
They'll have to move again. Find new jobs. What are they supposed to put on their resume? Worked 1941 to 1943 at the organization too secret to know? Don't tell anybody?
We'll make sure they can get any job they might want. Honestly, Anthony, they probably don't even need our help. Your boys are the best of the best, and they'll land on their feet. But we will charge them for treason espionage, and conspiracy to murder bald eagles if they talk to anyone, just as we would now.
What in God's name did you find in Philadelphia that could justify this?
A new researcher brought us a new project.
Oh, and he's replacing me.
She's replacing you.
I'm being ousted by a woman? Are you kidding me?
She gave us the answer.
What are you talking about?
What she's made. It will end the war. And it will end every other war before they even happen.
That's what you said about predictive algorithms.
I was wrong, Anthony. What you have is an idea. What I have now is a fact. Reality. Something I can hold in my hands. Something I can point to and say, this is the answer to all our problems. Every threat that our country will ever face. All you can give me is possibilities.
But you're not scrapping the project entirely.
Never have a plan without a backup plan. Prepare for every eventuality. Isn't that what you're going to help us do?
Be all bad. And I really do want to figure out how I got here, more than anything. Maybe figure out how to get home. I just wish I had some kind of choice. As long as this project is a secret, he'll keep who I am a secret at all costs, which means I've got to keep who I am a secret too. Which, I guess, might be okay. In the end, I'm always going to do the work, and Donovan's resources seem like the best way to do it. There's just so much more to the universe than I ever understood before, and I can't wait to figure it all out. So as long as this experiment is running, let's treat it like one. Subject 1, Sally Virginia Grissom, age 27, born February 19th, 19 in Adams County, Iowa. Graduated 24 with a doctorate in theoretical physics from MIT. Resident physicist, SSC, for 2 years. 7 years after this recording is made, an unknown space-time anomaly occurs involving a Higgs inhibitor array and a cloaking device known as Project Rainbow. Consequently, subject appears on the deck of the USS Eldridge on the afternoon of October 28th, 1943, with nothing but the machine itself, one wallet, one cell phone fried by the trip, and a 1 kilogram platinum tube. Subject is the universe's first time traveler. No, that sounds too melodramatic. Besides, I don't think I can really call anything first again. So, let me start over. My name is Sally Grissom, and I think I accidentally invented time travel. This is stupid. Wow, hold on. This is really dumb. I hate all of this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to live in some secret town in the middle of the desert. I don't want to live in the 1940s. I just want to go home. I want to worry that I left the oven on. I want to get stuck in traffic. I want to stand paralyzed in the grocery store aisle, unable to tell the difference between Cheerios and the generic brand. I want my life back. And I want to charge my goddamn phone. But the rub of it is, I'm not even sure I can get home. Not unless I take the long way. Just in case anyone from my time finds this and you're wondering where I've gone, this is where I am. If you're looking, I'm not saying don't try to find me, but I will say that the odds are against you. And I hope you won't mind if I take a crack at getting home myself. I'm a smart girl. I'll figure it out. Hi. This is the thing, the diary thing. January 17th, 1944. It's Monday, and it's damn cold. There's no heat in my house. I've asked to put in a work order, but it seems like every GI is off on other assignments. It always seems like there's a swarm of them buzzing about, but never when you actually need them. I scrounged up a couple of blankets from the infirmary, but I can only wrap myself so thickly and still work. My first few months here have been decidedly miserable. Sure, when I first got here, I was welcomed with open arms, but ever since the second week or so, I could feel myself getting frozen out. Pun definitely not intended. I mean, I have never seen a more hostile group of people in my life. Not a one of them will speak to me unless under a direct order. My lab assistants spend a single day with me, speak in the tersest of tones, and then refuse to come in the next day. The room full of men and women that are so far removed from any concept I have of a computer I barely understand glare at me, just stare me down until I run from the room. Even civilians stop conversing when I enter a room. And it's not like there's no social life here. There is. The other people, they throw dinner parties, they drink, they dance, and I don't. I'm left out in the cold. The pun's still not intended. I swear, it's like high school all over again. At first, I thought that they were under orders not to speak to me. It would have been a little cruel, trapped living as a pariah in a secret desert town of geniuses. But, I mean, I'm from the future. I guess I can understand that. You know, for the sake of avoiding paradoxes, sure. Keep me isolated. For the integrity of the universe and so on. But a few weeks ago, I just kind of snapped. I couldn't stand it anymore. So I stormed into the director's office. Well, stormed into the administration building and demanded to be escorted to the director's office by the receptionist. She told me he wouldn't be back for another 3 days, so I left and came back. She gave me directions. Then I demanded that the big stoic guys guarding his door let me in, and then I stormed into the director's office. I was all set to start yelling at him for the injustice, for the indignity of keeping me in solitary confinement, but he hadn't given any order. Turns out everyone just hates me. Yep, exactly like high school. All these people here, I feel like they don't trust me. They don't know where I'm from, but they notice that something's off about me. It's something deep in their unconscious, I guess. I'm uncanny to them. And that wards off any attempt at making living here with people a little more bearable. And because I'm left all alone, there is absolutely nothing for me to do here. I know I'm not in 20 anymore, but it is just so paralyzingly boring during the hours that I'm not at work. Day in, day out, it's the same. Work, crunch numbers, fiddle with the machine, talk to barely anyone, come home, eat, slump down in my room at the end of the day and try to pretend that the radio in the corner of my bedroom fills in for the panoply of entertainment so vast it would make these Neanderthals' heads spin. Now all I have are the same 4 or 5 staticky AM stations that we get here, and none of them are ever clear enough to hear much. There's too much electromagnetic interference from the experiments in town. Seriously, any of you from the 40s listening to this wouldn't believe what we've got. It might as well be magic. God damn, I miss the internet. At least the work is keeping me sane, but only barely. The technology in 1944 is pretty rudimentary, all things considered. And the standard model that I'm working from won't even be theorized for another 20 years or so. But the laws governing the universe haven't changed, so I guess it's all the same. Well, I'm pretty sure that they haven't changed. Actually, the whole laws governing the universe thing is pretty up in the air right now. I suppose we'll find out today. The test of the newly specced machine, which we've been calling the timepiece, is in a little less than 5 hours. After 3 long, lonely months, I finally feel ready. The first phase is supposed to chart tachyon measurements, look for more disturbances of space-time like the one I wrote in on. The idea behind the whole thing is...
What is that?
What? Oh my god!
Okay, cool. So, something just knocked out the power in my room. It looks like the whole town, too.
I think whatever it was gave off a weird electromagnetic pulse that fried the spool I was just using. I tried listening to it, and all I got was this, like... But we shield all of our equipment lockers with copper mesh, and there was a spare spool or two in there. Is it weird that the first thing I did was replace the wire spool on my personal audio recorder? Nah. I'm probably fine. It's just been a while since I spoke to anyone else, I guess.
There's still a weird buzz on this one, though. I wonder which project caused this.
Dr. Grissom?
Yeah?
You're needed down by the computing pavilion.
Me? Are you sure?
Very sure, ma'am. The director asked for you personally. You will get instructions when you arrive. He's assembling a team to figure it out.
A team, huh? Find a lot of volunteers for that one?
I'm not sure, ma'am. I was sent to collect you.
Hmm. Can I bring my recorder?
I'm sorry. What?
This thing. Can I bring it with me? I've got an idea.
I guess, if you want to lug it all the way over there.
Then hold on. Let me grab a few other things.
Should be good to go. See, this will send the audio signal through the microphone onto the tape, routed through this device here, and back through to my headphones. It should amplify the EM distortion the closer we get to the disruption. Like a metal detector.
Yes, fine, that's great. We should get going if we want to stay ahead of it.
Well, say hi first.
What do you mean, say hi?
Into the microphone. Say hi. It's like a pod... like radio. Come on, do it!
Hi.
And who are we talking to?
Do we really have to do this?
Come on, it's for the record.
Fine, whatever. This is Anthony Partridge, mathematician for the Office of Developed Anomalous Resources. We're looking for an electromagnetic anomaly in the town of Polvo, New Mexico. And we're doing it with a souped-up tape recorder and a pair of headphones that make you look like an alien from Flash Gordon. Are we good? Can we get going now, please?
Yes, fine, okay. Let's go.
Thank you.
Sorry, I was just joking around.
I can't believe I volunteered to babysit you.
Hey, man, watch it. I can take care of myself. Done as much so far. I'm just trying to be nice.
Oh, sure, you're the girl with the silver spoon. Refocused our whole operation the minute you got here. I bet you caused this whatever it is.
Hey, buddy, do you work here?
What? What an idiotic question. Of course I work here.
Because for the past 3 months, I've been working alone on the most complex machine anyone in this world has ever seen, and not once did you lift a finger to help me. No one did. You all shut me out like a goddamn leper, so even if this was me, please excuse me for making one mistake while I am up to my elbows in the primordial fucking forces of the universe.
Come on, the last pulse sighting was up this way.
What in the hell did I do to you all anyway? I am only ever trying to be nice. What could I have possibly done to deserve the entire town giving me the silent treatment?
Come on.
No, I'm serious. You must know, you volunteered for this little scavenger hunt. You know, you're the first person to voluntarily stand next to me since the first week I got here. And even you treat me like I ran over your dog backing out of the driveway. Why?
It's because the minute you got here, the director threw out half our projects. We had to start from scratch. A year and a half of work just out the window.
Oh. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Some people weren't necessary to the new project structure, so they lost their jobs. And if you're not working, you gotta leave the town. A lot of good people had to uproot their families. One still in town lost a lot of good friends. They won't be able to speak to them until after the war's over, at least. So forgive us for having a little resentment. And you trying to be nice? Just joking around? It's rude! It's just damn rude!
I didn't know.
What do you mean you didn't know? You came in straight from the director's orders. You had to know what bringing your work in here would do.
The way I joined the project, it's... complicated.
Complicated? What do you mean, complicated?
Well, there it is! I hear it!
Well, I don't see anything. The lights are still on in these buildings. We should be...
It's this way. It's weak, but it sounds just like the pulse that came through my house. I'm gonna follow it. Are you coming?
I guess so.
So, what were you working on?
I was in charge of a team developing an algorithm for predicting systems through an application of quantum mechanics.
You were trying to predict the future based on different choices and math?
Just in a well-educated guess sort of way. It's not like you asked a formula about what you're going to have for breakfast tomorrow or what color shoes you were wearing when you met your husband. More like, which countries are likely to be at war in 100 years?
How close did you get?
That's classified.
Okay, but... come on. What's the least classified thing you could predict?
Well, we predicted we'd have a polio vaccine by the end of the decade.
Wow, really? That's great. Shame for FDR, though.
What do you mean?
Because he had... I mean... never mind.
Well, when you arrived, the director shut down the project. We assumed that you had come up with a better algorithm.
Well, I definitely see how my machine might supplant what you were doing... but I didn't know.
Listen, I've been here for a few years. I know the rules. What the director says goes. But I don't have to be happy about it.
You don't have to take it out on me.
I'm allowed to be resentful of the girl that's displacing me.
I didn't mean to displace you. I'm not trying to displace anyone. I just took a job, man.
What? You just took a job? You don't just take a job at this place, waltz into Bill Donovan's office and ask if they're accepting resumes. No one makes it to Polvo by accident. Where are you from? Where did you go to college?
MIT.
I've had my eye on every kid in that school with a twinkle in his eye for the past 5 years. When did you graduate?
24...
1924? You received your PhD 19 years ago.
Can this wait till later? I've got something.
By something, do you mean a keen ability to lie? Because I got news for you.
No, I think the disruption is moving.
What are you talking about? Give me those. All right. What am I supposed to be listening for?
It's very slow, but you can see that even if you're not moving, there's still an almost imperceptible Doppler shift on the signal. I'm going to boost the levels here to amplify the interfering signal.
Whoa! Was that you? Turn it down!
That wasn't you! I didn't do anything!
It's blowing!
Damn, you're right. It's moving. Actually, I think that... Do you have some extra paper? How about a map? I need you to boost the clarity of the signal.
You have something for this?
As a matter of fact, I do. Last May, everyone here got into really esoteric forms of radar detection, and I was working on this targeted broadcast identifier that I could repurpose to track a similar signal.
So if you overlay that vector with the campus, it looks like the disruption is moving south-southwesterly, and it's heading... right towards Site 2.
That's predictably terrible.
Just perfect. My machine is testing there in just a few hours. Damn it, what am I gonna do?
Well, it's moving slowly enough that we could briskly amble over to the test site and still beat the disruption there by a matter of hours. If it's some kind of weapon, I think we could figure out some way to disarm it. Has anyone actually seen anything?
I think everyone else is trying to get the town back online. And the few that aren't are collecting data from as far away as possible. We're not far now, though. It should be near the Grant Park playground. You mind babysitting me a little while longer?
Let's see where this goes, at least.
Off we go!
At the tone, the time will be 60, 30, 2.
Seeing this playground without children is just unsettling. Are you picking up anything?
Huh.
What's it doing?
That's the weird part. It's gone.
What do you mean it's gone?
When we walked onto the blacktop, it just stopped.
What happened? Did you see anything?
I don't think so. Hold on. Let me try something. Yep, this is it. This must be the eye of the storm.
So we're dealing with the invisible. Do you believe in ghosts, Sally?
Not really. I don't have much belief in anything I can't prove.
I had a grandmother who claimed she specialized in the occult. Used to read our palms every Christmas to tell our fortunes for the coming year. So I'm sure she'd be breaking out the candles and asking us to join hands by now.
And you? What do you think?
I think... that spirits of the dead probably have more pressing matters than moving rocking chairs around.
Then I guess we've ruled out ghosts.
I'm glad that's marked off the list.
So are things ever straightforward around here?
There was a month in 41 where there wasn't much going on. I was bored out of my skull. At least this thing is giving us plenty of notice. It's moving at about 0.88 miles per hour, so we've still got a few hours before it gets to the test site.
Wait. When is it supposed to get there?
About 3 p.m. this afternoon, if it keeps moving at the same rate.
Yep. Nope. No. This is nonsense. This is... Nope. I'm done.
What are you babbling about?
The test today. We're cycling field generators. The schedule puts boot up at 1,500 hours on the dot.
So what are you suggesting? Whoever sent the disturbance wants to sabotage the test?
Partridge, I don't think the disruption was a sabotage. I think I'm getting screwed by causality again.
Do you ever make sense?
I think it's a side effect.
Of what?
The timepiece prototype.
I think it's residue left over from the test.
What is that supposed to mean?
The prototype gives off large amounts of electromagnetic radiation when it's activated. If something goes wrong this afternoon, it's conceivable that the disturbance isn't moving towards the test site, it's moving away from it. But backwards?
That's complete and utter hogwash. The test hasn't even happened yet! How are we supposed to... Sally, what exactly is your machine supposed
to... Can you show me the map you plotted the disruption on?
This one?
Can you extrapolate it? Draw a line across the whole map, as far as you can go.
Well, by the looks of it, it traces a line right across here. Goes right through Philadelphia, near Cincinnati. I wonder if they've experienced any strange phenomena like this.
God damn it.
You've got something you're not telling me, and I'm getting real sick of it!
We've got some real cutting-edge technology now. Something new.
How wonderful for you, but that doesn't explain how something that goes wrong later makes our lives difficult now! You might have fancy machines, but you're not magic! What's your secret? What's in Philadelphia? What the hell are you working on? Just tell me!
It's classified, and you wouldn't believe me even if I told you.
Try me!
It's a time machine I brought with me from the future.
Really?
If I was lying, would I really pick something so ridiculous?
Well, the director wouldn't need a predictive algorithm if he could just see history firsthand, I guess.
Like I said, I didn't know.
And you think what? Your test exploded backwards through time?
Well, it broke when I got here, and wasn't designed for time travel in the first place. I had to rebuild it with contemporary parts, so maybe something goes wrong with the test. The capacitors overload and send a burst of energy radiating out from the space-time event. The wave of tachyons would travel out in both directions in time, and half of them would be drawn back through time towards the Project Rainbow test back in October.
Fine, then. Great. So I guess cause and effect work backwards now.
I'm still figuring that one out.
So our problem should be solved. Right? If we just don't turn on the machine today, the disruption won't have existed in the first place.
Yeah, but then what happens to us, right now? If we don't turn on the machine today, we'd have no reason to be out here deciding not to turn on the machine today.
A paradox.
I can't change things. If I change the past in the slightest, who knows what would happen to my future? So, are we doomed? Is this, like, fated to happen now? What do we do?
Well, there's two ways I see it. Either you can change what's coming, or you can't.
Helpful.
If you can't, then we're screwed either way. But what happens if you don't turn on that machine this afternoon?
You know, I really don't know. Either I fade out of existence, or everyone dies, or the whole universe ceases to exist.
Sounds to me like you're caught standing in both lanes of traffic.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, is there a chance nothing would happen?
What do you mean, nothing would happen? Everything has to happen.
What if paradoxes, causes and effects, just don't matter? Tonic water is disgusting and gin is for drunks, but put them together and you get something amazing.
But then how would this happen?
Well, then how would any of this happen? You came from the future, doll. You already started to change things. Your molecules displaced the air around you. You ate food that wouldn't have been eaten. Hell, you made me lose my job.
Sorry about that, by the way.
It's all right, but if you're looking for a good reason to change the future, you're plumb out of luck. It's already happened.
So right now, here, this is me deciding. I'm going to cancel the test. The machine won't turn on.
You hear that, universe? I don't care about your laws of causality. Do your worst.
I don't think the universe can hear you.
Then I guess I'm not gonna die. At least, not today.
Don't fret, everyone dies eventually.
When you can travel in time, it just seems a lot closer. I guess we should call the director. He'll have to cook up a pretty good story.
He won't need to. It's too dangerous to carry out a test with all this radiation around the base. It happens a lot more than you might think. He'll reschedule it for some time next week. Gives you time to fix your machine.
By the way, don't tell anybody about me being from the future.
Well, I was just about to call up the Polvo Gazette.
I'm serious. I can't let a secret like that leak. Director's orders.
Then why'd you tell me?
I needed to tell someone. Poor judgment call, mostly, but I feel a lot better. So, can we keep this between us?
Sure. And I'll talk to the town about lightening up on you. You'll need the help to analyze all this new data by next week.
You have no idea how much I would appreciate that.
So, the director knows that you're from the future, I mean?
How else do you think I got here?
Her name is Aaron and she talks...
3 o'clock on the nose. Any minute now.
Want a beer?
Yes, please.
So, what should I be looking at?
The machine, I guess.
That's your timepiece?
This is it, yeah. The disruption should be moving through the east wall over there right about now.
And you turned off all the power?
Right before I unplugged the machine from absolutely everything else. If something happens, there's no way it could be us. I should have grabbed goggles, but I'm sure we'll be fine.
I've got a camera rolling, and I grabbed a Geiger counter, too. I was concerned about him getting fried, but I couldn't resist the chance at some damn good data.
Say whatever happens destroys the lab. Won't we get in trouble? For destroying equipment or everything?
Sally, this is what we're here for. If we're doing good work, they'll replace anything that gets destroyed.
So what, you just have infinite money?
Not quite. It's all the taxpayers' money. But the General always replaces what gets broken, gets us what we need.
Outside of the occasional electromagnetic catastrophe, it sounds like a scientist's paradise.
Not quite.
I mean, you could speed things up by replacing the calculator girls with a couple of transistors, but all things considered, it ain't half bad.
You know, it's just... You see a lot of military trucks drive in and out, but not a lot of civilians.
The director's got my number. I'm probably stuck here more than you are. Which means, by that logic, you're also stuck here with me. Welcome to my hell.
Did everything just get redder?
Here it comes. Okay, watch this.
That was it?
That was it. 1502 by my watch.
Did you know that would happen?
The blue flash? Not a clue.
Come on, what were you expecting?
I had even money on mechanical failure and spontaneous bear attack.
Shame no one was around to see it.
We were around to see it. We saw it, so it happened. I think that's enough. Diary of Sally Grissom, January 17th, 1944. It's past midnight, so I guess it's the 18th. My regular entry for today was destroyed, so I'm redoing it. I couldn't make anything out of that old tape, but I'll keep it in the file anyway. Maybe someone someday can figure it out. This one is going to be short, because I've had a long day and I'm exhausted. I'm nursing what I think is the single most wicked headache humankind has ever known. So, here's what I'll say. I made a decision today to not do something. I acted through inaction. And I think I changed history? I feel like I'm breaking some kind of rule set for the universe, but nothing of consequence has happened yet. I didn't fade away. I didn't disappear. Does that mean I've made the right choice? I've got no idea what making the right choice even means anymore. Who knows? Maybe history doesn't care that I'm in it now. I don't really know yet. So, I need to do this for myself. Make decisions like I could possibly know what I'm doing, which I can't. I can't be bothered with what the universe wants to happen. And if we're all still here in the morning, then maybe I was right.
Ars Paradoxica was created by Daniel Manning and Misha Stanton. Episode 1, Hypothesis, and Episode 2, Blackout, were written by Daniel Manning and produced by Misha Stanton. They feature Kristen DiMercurio as Sally Grissom, Ren Beeler as Chet Wickman, Rob Slotnick as Director Bill Donovan, and Robin Gabrielli as Anthony Partridge. Our Season 1 cast also included Susanna Cavey, Katie Speed, and Zach Ehrlich, with special thanks to Isabel Atkinson. Original music by Misha Stanton and by Eno Friedman Broadman. You can hear more at enoofficial.com. Come find us wherever we are on the internet. On our website, of course, arsparadoxica.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and most other social media networks at Ars Paradoxica. And you can email us at arsparadoxica@gmail.com. If it's Ars Paradoxica, it's probably us. If you like what we've done here, consider leaving us a review on iTunes. It's a great tool to help new listeners find our show. You can also donate to the show on Patreon or on our website via PayPal. This show is a labor of love for everyone involved, and we want to keep making it for you. Visit arsparadoxica.com/support for more info. Or Is Paradoxica is brought to you by the internet, changing everything in your life, whether you asked for it or not.
Blue. Blue. 19. The weather in Tulsa today is sunny.
Again, that was Ars Paradoxica, episodes 1 and 2, Hypothesis and Blackout, in a special back-to-back presentation. Thank you to both Daniel and Misha for this special mix. For more information and episodes, visit their website at arsparadoxica.com. If you enjoyed the story, you should also check out their patron and support pages through their website to help continue this series and check out their extra content. We'll talk about this and a few other projects next week when we take a preview of some new audio drama series that are paddling through the seas of crowdfunding. Hear some previews of those tales and more Ars Paradoxica next week right here on Midnight Audio Theater. Remember, if you missed tonight's show, you can always catch it online at midnightaudiotheater.com. Or if you have questions or comments for us, feel free to email us at midnightaudiotheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can always leave us a message on our Facebook page. Until next week, audio drama fans, same bat time, same bat channel. I'm Kathy Ranella. Thanks for tuning in. BBC World News is up next.